Our scripture reading will be from Ezekiel 47, beginning with verse 1 through verse 6. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple face east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out of the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that cannot be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river.
You know, I announced last week that I was going to use the month of December on our Sunday morning lessons to talk about Thanksgiving. November is the month of Thanksgiving. And then, you know, it seems like it's on us because next week is the week of Thanksgiving. Not this coming today week, but the next week is the coming of Thanksgiving. And it is important that we always give thanks. And not just during this particular time of the year, but every day that we arise in the mornings, we need to give thanks to the Lord for the blessings that we receive throughout this day. So for the rest of the month, I will be talking about Thanksgiving. And today, I want to be talking about being thankful for the many blessings that we receive. This morning, I want to take you back to Ezekiel chapter 47. The Israelites are in Babylonian captivity. The temple has been destroyed. And the people have become so tired, they have become weary, they have become disheartened. And they are asking the question, will this ever end? Is this never going to be over? When will God renew his blessings toward us? And then we find that the prophet Ezekiel has a vision. And he sees Solomon's temple in the days of its glory. He sees the beauty that is involved with what God had man to build for his dwelling place among the Israelites. And then strangely enough, Ezekiel saw in this vision water flowing from the back door of the temple, flowing out under God's house. Ezekiel is taken for a walk in toward the east where this water is flowing. As he begins his walk, the water is only ankle deep. As he moves on, the water becomes deeper. Now it becomes knee deep. The water is rising in this vision. And before he knows it, it is at his waist and even higher. He finds himself swimming in the water, and it is climbing. In fact, the water literally becomes a river that cannot be forded, it cannot be crossed because it is so deep. And then we find Ezekiel taken back to the bank. And ask the question, Son of man, do you understand all of this? Do you see what God is trying to tell you from this vision? You know, this morning I want us to take a look at this flow of water that is coming from the temple in Ezekiel's vision. And I want us to see this flow of water as God's blessings that he gives to us every day that we live. Blessings that come from God's house. And this was literally God's house, the temple. Blessings that come from his presence. Blessings that are ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, blessings so deep, so vast, that we can swim in them. Blessings beyond our imagination. Blessings that literally, as the song suggests, really can't be counted. The things that God has done for us. That's what we need to see from Ezekiel's vision. You know, there is no doubt that the fulfillment of this vision was seen in the coming of Jesus. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." In other words, Jesus is saying, "Hey, I came to bless you. I came to give you the things that you cannot give yourself. I have come to make your life richer. I have come to make your life better. I have come to make your life as the life of my child. And I have come that you may walk ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and that you may even have to swim in them. They are so great." You know, James said, James chapter 1 verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from God, coming from the presence of God, giving you the blessings that you have." And I don't know if we think about this every day when we rise up out of our bed. The fact that every one of us were able to get out of our bed this morning was a blessing, because there are so many today who could not do that. Every time we receive something good in our life, it is a blessing from God. And we need to realize that. You know, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, and chapter 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. We sitting here today as Christians have this spiritual blessing, all of the spiritual blessings of life. And we need to be thankful for that, because God has given to us something that we could not attain for ourselves. It is a gift of His. You see, when we think about Ezekiel's vision, for example, and the blessings is just like the water. It gets higher and higher and more and more. You see, when God gives, He gives abundantly. There is no limit to what God does for us. When God blesses, He blesses completely. And what that means is, folks, He gives us everything that we need in life. And when God provides, He provides overwhelmingly. We have been so blessed for so long. In fact, we have been so blessed for so long, I fear that sometimes we fail to really understand just how many blessings that we receive. You see, and the problem is not on how much God is willing to give. The problem is how little we are willing to receive. You know, God has prepared a banquet table for us. You know, it's just like David said in the 23rd Psalm, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." His blessings are so vast that there is no vessel large enough to hold them. So what does a vessel do when it comes to the top? It rolls over. Our blessings from God roll out because the top has been compromised. That's how God blesses us. But yet, many of us find ourselves strolling along ankle deep in God's blessings, when in reality, we should be swimming in them. And it's not God's fault that we're not swimming in His blessings. It is our fault, because we have failed to receive that which God has given to us. So the question is, just how deep are we willing to wade in God's blessings? So what I want to talk about for the rest of our time this morning is some of these in Christ blessings that we need to be swimming in and not just splattering the water ankle deep. First one is this: our salvation. We should be swimming in our salvation. We love this verse, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And then we have these beautiful words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. For God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Jesus indeed came to give us the blessing of a new life, of a different life. It says, just as Paul said, hey, we take the old man and we cast him aside, and we put on the new man in Christ. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So as a child of God, my friends, we never need to take our salvation for granted. And we should never be unsure of our salvation, because it is a blessing that has overfilled us and has been given to us. My friends, we should not have to wade in the thought that we have salvation. We should swim in it. It should be so deep that we have to maneuver like a fish in it. Because that gift, that blessing is so great. We should have the confidence sitting here today that God has saved us from our sins, that our home on high is just a matter of time away, and we are saved. So we need to be thankful for that, the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we need to be thankful for our forgiveness. When someone is forgiven of something in general, we can put it behind us and we can move on. But you know, for some reason or the other, and I don't know if it's human nature or just the way we have been taught to think, we live with a guilt when things go wrong in life. Guilt is a terrible, terrible scar. Worry is a horrible burden to carry. So don't do it. We don't have to. We don't have to carry the guilt of the sins of our life that God has forgiven. I think Paul puts it in a tremendous way in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. When God forgives, friend, you're forgiven. He's not going to bring it up again. And we don't need to bring it up again. Paul also said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How can we say that? How can we look ourselves in the mirror and say that there is no condemnation in me? It's because God has forgiven us our sins. What we think we see is really not there. God has taken them away. And we need to understand that. You know, it's interesting to note what what God does with our sins. Listen to what the scriptures teach us. When it comes to our sins, they are forgiven. They are washed away. They are cast into the depths of the sea. They are wiped out. They are removed as far as the east is from the west. They are purified. And they make, we are now whiter than snow. That's what God does with our sins. They're gone. Friends, it is time for us to rejoice over the fact that our sins are completely and forever gone. God's forgiveness, it is as if it never happened. Regardless of our past, and we all have a past. There's no one in here that don't. Peter had a past. Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times in order to save his skin, to save his pride. Now let me ask you something. If a man did something like that in this church, denying Christ, denying being a part of his family, would we let him come up here and hand out communion? Would we let him come up here and say a prayer? Would we let him come up here and read to us from God's word? Of course not. We're not going to let someone like that come in here and be a part of us. The Apostle Paul had a past. He took the believers of Jesus Christ. He arrested them. He put them in jail. He had them beaten. He even had some of them killed. Would we allow a man like that to come in here and stand by the Apostle Peter and help him do all of these things? Never. He's against us. Paul was against us. Peter was against Jesus Christ on the night of the betrayal. But you know the difference with them? God forgave them. And I have always said, and I fully believe this, Judas Iscariot had asked for forgiveness from God for what he did to Jesus Christ. Judas would have been there on that day that he ascended up to heaven as an apostle to go out and to carry out the Great Commission because God would have forgiven him. Amen. We need to know God's forgiveness is complete. And yet, these two examples here of Peter and Paul, Paul said he was the worst. Well, if God will forgive the worst, he will forgive us because we're not the worst. And Peter, he showed how bad he was more than one time throughout his time as an apostle. What a blessing it is to know that when God forgives us, we are forever forgiven. And we need to be thankful for that. And then, God has supplied us with time, with talent, with treasure, and with truth. And we need to be thankful for that. Now, let me ask you something. Do you have time to do everything that you want to do in a day? Now, that's probably why this screen messed up here a while ago, because I didn't have time to really watch what I was doing to be sure that it was right. And y'all know, that ain't the first time I've messed that screen up, is it? And let me tell you something else. It won't be the last. But the fact is, we don't have time to do everything that we do. Do we think we need more than one talent? Have you ever tried to do something and say, ooh, I wish I could do this? I wish I could do this like so-and-so does this, but I don't have that talent. We've all been there. How many of you want more treasure? I raise both hands to that. Sure, we want to be taken care of. We want the best of life that we can have. What about truth? Do you want to know truth? Some people may say, well, you know, it might be better if we didn't know the real truth. When it comes to God's word, that is simply not true. We need truth. You know, Jesus tells us just how we can have time, just how we can have talent, how we can have treasure, how we can have truth. He tells us how to do this. Number one, you need to give time in order to have time. You need to give of your talents in order to receive more talent. You want more treasure? Give treasure. You know, anytime you go into business, what's the first thing you have to do? You have to invest in it. That means you have to put something into it before you can get anything out of it. And the same thing is true in the church and from anything spiritual in life. If you want anything out of the church, you're going to have to put something in it. And I'm not talking about dollar bills, folks. I'm talking about your life. If you want your life to be better as a child of God, you need to put your life into God. And then if you want the truth, you need to give truth. Do you know anybody in your personal lives that you wouldn't trust them any farther than you could pick them up and throw them? I do. Why? Because they're not always truthful with me. Jesus has said, the truth will set you free. You know, there's a flip side to that saying. If the truth is not there, you're not free. So we need to know that if we want truth in our lives, we're going to have to get it in order to receive it. Like I said, most of us only know the joy of walking ankle deep in what God has given to us. There may be a few here that can go knee deep. But friends, we need to learn that we don't have to walk ankle deep in God's blessings. We can swim in it. Now I want you to know, when it comes to water, I can't swim. But if it's blessings of God, I want to jump in it. I want to have it. It's a blessing from God. It's mine. I want it. And yeah, if I've got to fight to get it, yes, I want it. Because they're from God. Anything coming from God is better than anything coming from man. You know, the Bible talks about two C's in the Bible days that were dealt with in many ways. First of all, we had the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was so alive. The Sea of Galilee had lush greenery. It was so beautiful. It had flowers all along the seashore. It had the sandy beaches. It had the luster of the beautiful clear blue water. It was alive, and it just drew people to come to it, and it still does. Look at some of the modern pictures of the Sea of Galilee. You would think you were looking at the panhandle of Florida or down in the south part of Florida in Miami because it's so beautiful. That's the Sea of Galilee. But then there's another sea. What is it? The Dead Sea. There is no greenery here. There is no flowers here. There is no beauty here. It would be dangerous to try to walk on these beaches. It's just dead. Deadness all around. You see, there's a difference in these two. The Sea of Galilee takes in the water that comes from the rivers and the streams and from the water in the sky. And it passes that along to other places. It is a living piece of water. That's why it's alive. The Dead Sea, on the other hand, it receives. It receives what's coming into it. But it holds on to what it has. And it hoards it up and it won't let it go. And then finally the calcium comes in and decays everything around it. Because it's not rotating, it's not moving around. And it's dead. I guess it works sort of like an air conditioner. Have you ever noticed that Everywhere there's an air conditioner, there is an air conditioner return. Do you know why that's there? Because if you push air into a room, air's got to go out at the same time. If you look under the stage right here, you'll see the vents. When these two units in these two side rooms come on and it blows air out through those vents, that air is coming right back here to come back into that air conditioner so we can rotate it over and over again. That's why the Dead Sea is dead, because it doesn't give anything. It just takes, and it's dead. Friends, the Dead Sea is cankered, it has corrupted, and it is dead. Do not let this happen to you. And do not let this happen to this church. I have presented this lesson this morning with the hope that I can encourage each of us to count the blessings that we have and to return blessings the same. When we do this, we will find ourselves not just walking ankle deep in God's blessings or knee deep in God's blessings. We will find ourselves floundering because the blessings are so deep, and we'll have to swim in them. And at the end of Ezekiel's blessing or his vision, it was so deep you couldn't get in it. You couldn't go from one side. You couldn't even swim to the other side. They were so many, so deep. That's what God gives to us. We need to swim in the blessings of God, not just walk ankle deep. And we can do this. This is available to us all. But it only belongs to the children that God bless. He blesses us as his children. Today, if you are not a Christian, now is your opportunity to become a child of God so that you can receive blessings, not ankle deep, not knee deep, not waist deep, but so deep that you can't walk it. You've got to swim in it. That's what we need. You can come today in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, giving yourself to baptism, New Testament baptism, for the remission of your sins, and then you can have blessings that are over your head, blessings that you have got to swim to keep them. You have to fight to keep your blessings. And we do that, don't we? Because we could turn away from God. We could allow Satan into our lives. And we could allow ourselves to turn away from God. And the blessings stop. And there may be some here today who have done just that. You have walked away from God. You have turned away from him. And you are no longer a part of his family. And you are no longer splashing or swimming in the blessings that God has. But you can have it again by simply confessing your faults. And God will bring you back into his family. The blessings will flow and they will never, ever end. They won't end when this life is over. They will continue in the next life, and that next life lasts forever. And our minds can't comprehend that, but that's what the scriptures tell us. So be thankful for what God has given to you, because he has given you a lot. Today, if you find that you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, that you need to no longer walk ankle deep, but you're ready to swim in the blessings of God, come now while we stand and sing this song.